Welcome in to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth alongside Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio this evening after a big Preds win last night up in Montreal. A win by a score of 4-2 as the Preds make it 3 in a row in their quest to make the playoffs for a 6th straight season in the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs. Justin, how are we doing this evening?
Doing all right. It was one of those things, too, had that 4-0 lead and then gave a little bit of a scare as Montreal turned it on.
I never felt like it was at risk, though.
A little. It's one of those things that even though you didn't feel like it was at risk, it's one of those, oh, come on. Well, one, protecting Saros' shutout streak. That's one. And then two of, you've seen the team give up some leads before in the season, and you're just hoping it doesn't happen again.
This is true.
It's one of those things. Yeah, okay, 4-0 should be fine. They have 6 minutes left. That means they have to score this many goals per minute. Start doing that math in your head, going, no, they can't feasibly do that. But it's still one of those, you get a little nervous, and you just say, okay, just get to the 0-0-0 on the clock. It'll be fine. They get the win, and really all that matters is the 2 points. They got a very important 2 points to secure that first wild card spot right now with how Vancouver got their win. So they're getting points, and that's really what matters right now, and getting points whenever they possibly can.
It literally seems like every time I go to the NHL.com standings page, it's different.
Yeah, totally.
So going into tonight's action, the Nashville Predators, as you mentioned, Justin, hold the first wild card spot within the Western Conference at 78 points. Other teams with 78 points, the Canucks and the Jets. The Wild sit there at 77 points, and the Jets visit the Edmonton Oilers tonight in a big game in the Western Conference. So those standings will likely change, or could change, by night's end.
Right, and give it a couple days, and who knows where Dallas could be.
Sure.
Well, I mean, they're on a three-game losing streak, 3-5-2 in the last
actually 6.
Right.
If you include overtime losses. So 6 straight games without getting 2 points for the Dallas Stars. And the Preds are now only 4 points back of the Dallas Stars after beating them back-to-back games in regulation and then winning again last night against the Montreal Canadiens as they started their road trip last night with the 4-2 win. And I thought in the second period last night, they completely took over. Ryan Johansson scores, Cale Yarncroak scores, then Philip Forsberg, one beautiful goal, another goal where he was kind of in the right place at the right time to make it 4-0. But that surge from this team is something that we haven't seen a lot of, especially goal-scoring-wise. They've been winning games with more regularity in the last couple months than they had been doing with Peter Laviolette, but they haven't been going on goal-scoring binges. But last night in the second period, they completely took over that game and essentially won themselves the game in those 20 minutes.
They did, and they controlled a lot of the first period, too, and that was a good sign. You're just thinking, okay, it's going to happen soon. The wall is going to break soon because they were getting plenty of shots on goal. They're, what, almost double the shots on goal against Montreal in the first. So they were controlling most of the game in the first period. In the second period, they just erupted for it. And like you were saying, you haven't seen those goal-scoring streaks for them because, hey, they're in the first wildcard spot, and the goal differential for them for the season is still a -2. So, and two teams below them are at +11. There's even Arizona, who's at a +8 for the season. So the Predators, it shows, too, where they've struggled to score some goals or have some lopsided losses, Edmonton, to where it's adjusted their goal differential for the season. But if this is a sign, I mean, first of all, they put 3 together, which is a good sign right there.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Philip Forsberg, looking like Philip Forsberg that we're used to seeing when he gets streaky and can score a bunch of goals, and Roman Josi continuing to produce like Roman Josi does when it comes to being an assist machine like that. And then you have Ryan Johansson scoring a goal, streaking up into the slot like that and saying, pass me the rock, I'm going to shoot the J. I mean, that's really what it looked like. He was holding his stick up saying, get it to me, I'm ready to shoot. And you're going, whoa, Ryan Johansson's going to shoot. And boom, he got it. What the thing that impressed me most, I think, in terms of goals, which is what you want to see, and looking at this, is the Cale Yarncroak goal. And the reason why is because it was scored off the faceoff. That it showed how important an offensive zone faceoff can be because it can lead directly to goals. They win the faceoff. It plops right to him. He shoots it in with Montreal's own defender screening Carey Price. And that's what you want, is those little things where you're creating your own puck luck, where, yes, you win the faceoff and you shoot it at the net. That's exactly what you want to happen, is utilize the team, your opponent, against themselves. And that's exactly what they did with Cale Yarncroak's goal. And that's one of those things where, yeah, Johansson scores, it's 1-0, things can still shift that way. But once you go up 2-0, the way they did it as well, fairly quick. I mean, 3 minutes in, you have your 2-0 in the second period. That's when it starts that train rolling of, okay, this isn't just a fluke of scoring goals in the second period. They're actually looking good in the second period with that kind of goal, which they scored.
Sure. And you mentioned Philip Forsberg, 2 goals. We'll talk about him individually here coming up in a little bit. Same with Roman Josi, who had 2 assists last night in his quest for the Norris Trophy. We'll get to that a little bit later on as well. But Justin, are you buying what you're seeing from this Preds team? Because the last time the Preds put together 3 straight wins, they followed it up with 3 straight losses. And the time before that, we thought they were turning the corner with back-to-back wins over the Blues. Then they've, you know, laid an egg at home against Carolina. So this team has had signs of building up some victories, but they haven't been able to sustain it for a 5-6-7-game stretch of really good play. They've been able to get 3 wins in a row now 3 times in the last month. But are you buying that this thing is going to extend into tomorrow night in Toronto, or even if they only get a point or play well tomorrow night, you know, extends into the weekend when they visit Columbus, when they visit Minnesota, and all these big games coming up? Are you buying what you're seeing right now out of this team?
I'm buying what I'm seeing right now mostly because of Yusuf Saros. That's why I'm buying it more, because of his stats since January, that he's getting consistent starts, consistent playing time, and he is dominating. I mean, that's the only reason I'd buy it. And I think there was a meme out there where it's like Yusuf Saros is dragging the Predators into the playoffs. He's, I don't want to say single-handedly doing it, but he's keeping them in the chase by giving them an opportunity to win games. Just like in the past before, Pecorine has done the same thing for them. Saros is giving the Nashville Predators an opportunity to win games. And what we hadn't seen all the time, just the offense needs to step up. If they can just give him a few goals, Saros is going to secure the victory for them. All he's got to do is give them an opportunity to win, and then the offense needs to step up and score a few timely goals. Or have a thing look what they did against Montreal. Score some goals, give an opportunity to win, and Saros is going to get you that win, because the way that he's been playing has been lights-out hockey since the start of this calendar year, and that's what I believe right now. I believe in Yusuf Saros. If the offense can continue to be a little bit more consistent, if Forsberg can get hot, I believe it even more. I've always believed the Predators were going to make the playoffs, not necessarily win the division or anything like that, but just because of the inconsistencies out of the Pacific, it was going to be basically they'd have to try to not make the playoffs with the way that the way they've been playing.
Sure.
They could be playing average hockey and I think still make the playoffs given the way the Pacific has been performing. Arizona's kind of fallen out of favor. It's up to Vancouver to try to make that other wild card spot, and they're battling Minnesota and Winnipeg. So it's really the Central against Vancouver for those 2 spots. So that's why I really do think that they're still going to make the playoffs, and I believe that just because of the way the Pacific is laid out, and Yusuf Saros is that reason right now.
You mentioned Saros, and really ever since February 4th, he's been the starter of this team. Since February 4th, he has started 14 of the team's 18 games, and he has a .940 save percentage, and he's won 10 of those 14 starts.
It's pretty
which
good.
Which is really damn good.
Yeah.
So when you look at the way he's playing, you look at in spots, in little spurts, you're starting to see the star forwards come around a little bit. I mean, Ryan Johansson scores a goal last night. Philip Forsberg, hopefully these 2 goals that we saw last night can spark him down the stretch, because he has yet to really get hot this season. So if he's going to get hot, he's saving it for the right time. Matt Duchene scored a goal recently at home against Dallas last Thursday. Victor Arvidsson looks a lot better than he looked 2-3 weeks ago. So things are starting to look a little bit better. And now that you have Ryan Ellis in the lineup too, with 10 points in the last 10 games, and the fact that he is picking up right where he left off before that concussion at the Winter Classic, right, I think you add all of these things up, I'm starting to feel pretty good about this team. Now, whether or not they make the playoffs, I have no idea, because it's in your hands, but it's also kind of not in your hands, because you could have 2 of these 6 teams battling for 2 spots just absolutely catch fire and leave everyone in the dust. If you're not one of those teams, then you're not making the playoffs. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, remember those games in hand they had? Oy.
Yeah, they've all kind of disappeared.
They have. But the thing with Philip Forsberg, to your point, is that last night, and I'm sure plenty of people saw this from NHL Public Relations, that he became the first player in Preds history to register 6 20-goal seasons, having reached the mark in every campaign since 14-15. So that's consistency there. Obviously, we expect more, because he should be more of an elite forward. and it should be more on the how many 30-goal seasons does he have? Mm-hmm. But at least it's on the Craig Smith mentality of the, hey, 20 goals. You're going to get 20 goals out of him. And if he gets hot, Forsberg could end the season closer to 30 if he really does get hot right here and goes on maybe a three-quarters of a goal per game stretch, which could be very viable to this team making the playoffs.
A couple weeks ago, Willie Donick made the bold prediction that Philip Forsberg would get to 30.
He did, yeah.
He needs Philip Forsberg now needs 9 goals in the final 13 games to get to 30. If he gets to 30, I think this team is in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Ryan Porth alongside Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. You'll be able to hear Justin Bradford again at 8 p.m. this evening. A lot going on in the sports world and the hockey world, and if you have not heard the news in the last couple hours, the Columbus Blue Jackets have come out saying that they are going to be limiting the attendance at their upcoming home games for the rest of the regular season. And the Predators play in Columbus this Saturday. So this Saturday, the Preds will be playing a game in front of very little spectators, if no spectators.
The media.
On the road in Columbus. Certainly interesting times in this world right now. With the coronavirus rapidly spreading throughout this entire world. So we'll see what else happens across the NHL. I know we were going to touch on that later on this evening. We also have the Smashville VIP package right now. Text PREDS to 615-737-1025 for your chance to bid on this incredible package. The current bid is sitting at $1,200. Only $1,200 for a package that includes 2 tickets to Preds and Threads next Tuesday night, 2 VIP passes to the after party to Preds and Threads next Tuesday night, parking included at Bridgestone Arena. You can get a jersey signed by the entire team for the 2019-20 season. You can get 2 tickets to Preds Flyers on March 21st. Next Saturday, you can get a pregame dinner with Pete Weber and Hal Gill next Saturday night before you attend that Preds Flyers game. And you can also get 2 Nashville Strong t-shirts. All of the proceeds benefit both Tornado Relief and the Predators Foundation. So the highest bid right now is $1,200. Text the word PREDS to 615-737-1025 if you want to get in on the bidding. The bidding ends at 7:45 this evening, so you have about 90 minutes left to get your bid in. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, is Philip Forsberg turning the corner at the right time? We will get into that next. He's Justin Bradford. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.
Given back to Josi, walking from the right point to the middle of the ice. Gives the puck right side. Forsberg scores! Philip Forsberg rips one from the top of the right circle. The Predators tally on the power play to give themselves a 3-0 lead.
Welcome back in. Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth alongside Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. The call you heard right there. Pete Weber last night in Montreal. Philip Forsberg, 1 of 2 goals last night. As Philip Forsberg, is he starting to heat up? I don't know. Last Thursday, he scored a goal to break the goalless drought. I think it was at 16 games before the goal that he scored last Thursday against Dallas, where he looked up to the heavens, and I would assume 2 words that came out of his mouth were, thank God, that he finally scored. And then last night, scoring 2 of them. One on the power play, a beautiful Philip Forsberg vintage wrist shot that Carey Price really had no shot at stopping. And then another where a little bit of a broken play, Ellis, you know, it maybe was a shot pass. Roman Josi redirected it, went right to Philip Forsberg. He had a wide open net to put the puck in to make it 4-0 at that point. His second goal of the night, his 3rd point overall. He got an assist on the Ryan Johansson goal in the second period. And it raises the question of, is Philip Forsberg starting to turn that corner in terms of goal scoring? Because we have not seen the goal scoring binge out of Philip Forsberg yet this season. We typically see it once a year where he just goes on a 10 to 15 game stretch where he scores goals in bunches. Last year it happened to start the season. He scored 10 goals in the first 11 games last regular season. And he's had some injuries in the last few seasons that have, I guess you could say, limited his opportunity to increase into the 30 to 40 goal range, and have more 30 to 40 goal seasons like you were talking about last segment, instead of only having 6 straight 20 goal seasons. But Justin, do you feel like Philip Forsberg is now turning the corner offensively? Or is this just 3 goals in the last 3 games and he's going to go back into his drought?
I need a bigger sample size.
Okay.
Like, I really do, because like we're saying, remember all the jokes we say, oh, February is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he scores so many goals. In February, zero. Zero. He zero. Scored 2 goals January 30th against New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
but nothing the entire month of February.
Now he has 3 goals already in March.
Yeah, so Farch.
That's what Adam Vingan tweeted last night, right? Farch?
Yeah.
Like, no. No, stop it, Adam. No. Yes, thank you, Calvin Smith behind the glass. Yeah, no.
Okay.
It's not Farch, it's Marchburg.
Marchburg. Okay. I'm good with that.
Marchburg, in my opinion, is a lot better than Farch.
But there's really nothing to put in together because you have the word March in there. You're not taking anything out of it. You're just adding Berg to the end of it, right? There's got to be something else.
Well, hopefully for the Preds' sake, there's an April Berg and a May Berg and a June Berg. But right now we have to live with Marchburg, 3 goals in the last 3 games. Look, when he's been on those goal-scoring binges in years past, he has absolutely carried this team. You can't do this right now, can you? Farch!
It just sounds like in Miracle, where it's like, you know, whatever of. Talk yeah. about the Russian team.
Yeah.
Whatever, Berg. Forsberg. No. Okay, but I need a bigger sample size. Let's see in 5 games, out of 5 games, let's have him play 2 more games. If he puts up 1 more goal in the next 2 games, then I'd say starting to heat up, because then you'd have 4 goals in 5 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm okay with that. But out of 3 games, when 2 out of the 3 games he scored on, that's such a small sample size. I mean, Calvin, you love stats.
I do.
Don't you need a bigger sample size to really tell if there's a trend?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, this could really be considered random.
I had to activate the guy wearing the Georgia Tech sweatshirt. So.
Oh, how kind.
Look, the guy in the Georgia Tech sweatshirt is extremely smart, and he knows a lot about stats.
Exactly.
And he probably could have just said what I just said with a lot more...
starch.
Yes. Or farch.
But for real, a little bit more of a sample size. But if anything, we're looking at this... Yes, it's great. I mean, he had a 3-point night. That is a great way to build some confidence and some momentum going into this. And then this team overall building confidence and momentum, because you beat your division rival twice in a home and home. They've done that 3 times this season, twice against St. Louis,
yep.
Now against Dallas, and they've basically put Dallas into just a struggle bus right now. They continue it going on the road. So the big thing is they're doing this on the road. If they can do this at home, that's even bigger, because they've struggled overall at home. You look at their home and away record. All these little things that if Forsberg can help carry them, as well as Yusuf Saros' play, those are the things you need to be going together to have a team building that confidence going into playoffs.
Well, a lot of this is mental, right?
Totally.
These 3 goals that we're talking about out of Philip Forsberg out of the last 3 games, how different do they really look than a lot of the chances that he had in February?
I mean, he's been
not
trying.
All that different.
Right. It's not for lack of effort
yeah.
on Forsberg. It's just a lack of things falling through for him. I mean, all the advanced stats really show. I mean, he's still putting up and trying the things that he's always been trying in terms of attempts and trying to drive towards the net and possession and everything. They just haven't been falling in. And mm-hmm. and that's the thing. And I know it's become a topic of conversation that he needs to produce more. Yes, he needs to produce more. He needs more of these things falling for him. But it's not for lack of effort. It's not for lack of effort that we've seen on it. Maybe some other players where it doesn't look like they're necessarily trying as hard, or they're not getting to the winning the puck battles they should be winning. Philip Forsberg drives offense, and he just does that. Craig Smith drives offense. He just does that. Forsberg just hasn't had things dropping for him, and if things start dropping for him, which to get to the mean, they should.
Mm-hmm. Well, after the New Jersey game, you mentioned January 30th. That was the New Jersey game in which he scored 2 goals in regulation and then scored a shootout goal
right.
That helped them win that game. I felt like that was a turning point for him. And then he scored no goals in the next 16 games. So I agree with you that we need to see a bigger sample size out of Philip Forsberg before we get excited that he is turning a corner, at least individually, when it comes to goal scoring. But every season he does have one of these binges where he just takes over and scores 10 goals in as many games, and the offense follows his lead. Maybe he's saving it for the right time. Maybe, you know, he probably wasn't, quote, saving it. But in well, hypothetical terms, I mean, maybe, just maybe, here down the stretch is when the that corner is going to be turned for him, and he goes on this binge, and this team just takes off offensively.
So let's look at his production points-wise over the past few seasons, right? Last year, he had injuries. The year before that, he had injuries. He had 64 points in 17-18, and that was in 67 games. He had 50 points in 64 games last season. Right now, he's at 48 points in 63 games, with games still remaining to be played this season. So when you look at it in terms of production, he's kind of on pace with point production with what he's been doing. We're just used to seeing a little more goals, yet he's only 7 away from what he had last year if you look at the same amount of games that he has played. So 64 games he played last year at 63 games right now. So the production still has an opportunity to go and match what he's been doing. So let's see where we're at in 2 weeks. He could be a lot closer to what we're used to seeing out of him production-wise.
Well, and a lot of it, I think, this season, at least for him, has been the fact that he hasn't had regular line mates.
No, not at all.
We know how important not only for the team but for the three individuals of Arvidsson, Johansson, and Forsberg. We know how important the Jofa line has been to those three and the team itself. And we've been saying it really the last couple seasons when injuries have occurred to either Arvidsson or Forsberg, is that when you take one of those players off that line and you don't have those three together, they are not the same. And that has kind of been the case this season with all three of them individually. But when they've put them together, at least earlier in the season, they weren't the same together. So it's been a head-scratcher for most of the season for those three individually and collectively. But at the end of the day, I think with Forsberg, a lot of it has been mental. Just watching his reaction to finally scoring a goal last Thursday night against the Stars, him looking up into the heavens, you could just see this relief on his face, especially a minute before that. He had missed a wide-open net.
Right.
And it was like, how much longer is this going to go on for Philip Forsberg? Well, only took about 60 more seconds. But now that he has 3 goals in the last 3 games, and he's seeing the puck go into the net, and the team collectively is playing with a lot more urgency right now than they had been in the first 50 games or so of this season, I am hopeful that Philip Forsberg is going to be turning it on. Maybe it isn't one of those binges that we're used to, but maybe it's, you know, 6-7 goals to close out the season and not him going in a big drought again.
And 6-7 goals in 13 games to close the season isn't bad at all.
I mean, that's essentially a 40-goal pace for an 82-game season.
Exactly. And when you think of his production overall with what he's done, that puts him right about where you'd expect him to be, is near 30. And in terms of points, would he still putting some assists up? Because at least he put some assists up in February. So at least it wasn't a complete drought of point production. And it puts him closer to where he's on average been his entire career, aside from the 31-goal season. So if he produces the way that he should be producing in terms of goals and assists, he should get to where he's average at, which is that what you want? Yeah, it's great to have that. Do you want more? Absolutely, you want more because you know there's more in him. Mm-hmm. You just know there's more, and you hopefully it just falls that way for him to get on the streak.
So last night, Philip Forsberg scores 2 goals. He also added an assist. Roman Josi last night had 2 apples in the Preds' 4-2 win over the Montreal Canadiens. Should Roman Josi be considered the favorite for the Norris Trophy with only a handful of games remaining this season? We'll get to that next. He's Justin Bradford. I'm Ryan Porth. You are listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.
Roman Josi had a big night for the Preds against the oh-so-slumping Sharks in a game that featured some of the best defensemen across the NHL. Why do you feel like this could be the year he actually wins the Norris?
It's a contract year, so the man wants to get paid. Now, Roman Josi is always performing at its highest level no matter what, but what a perk that would be. I watched Roman Josi in this game against San Jose. You got 3 Norris trophies between Carlson and Burns, and Josi was the best defenseman on the ice by a mile. The way that he impacted the game offensively, defensively, the transition game, and some things that I talk about a lot with Roman Josi, and how effective he was in this hockey game, And you look at where he ranks in a few different areas this season already. It's the typical stuff, the zone entries, the zone exits. He's right up there. Scoring chances that he's generating, he's right up there. He had a couple goals, obviously, last night by getting down low below the faceoff dots or the top of the circles. He's got the puck on his stick a ton. Roman Josi is doing everything. I think he absolutely could be a Norris Trophy winner for the first time this season.
Welcome in to Preds Insiders. That was Mike Kelly on NHL Network talking about Roman Josi and the fact that Roman Josi's status within the Norris Trophy race continues to rise. And Justin, when you look at Roman Josi, he went through a little bit of a rut offensively, at least. He had been hot. He had been on a point per game pace up until 2-3 weeks ago. And he went through a rut where I believe for 5 games he didn't get a point. And
oh boy.
Yeah, exactly. And you were wondering whether or not that was going to be the start of like a dry spell for the rest of the season and a regression to the mean per se compared to his career numbers. Well, he has picked it back up since then. He has 8 points in his last 7 games. He had 2 assists last night in Montreal in the Preds' 4-2 win over the Montreal Canadiens. And the hype around hashtag Josi for Norris is starting to pick up steam. And last night on the pregame show on Fox Sports Tennessee, Willie Donick and Chris Mason were talking about the analytics side of this and the GSVA part of it. And they broke it all down, and here was Chris Mason talking about the importance of analytics to Josi's contention for the Norris.
I think they have to take this into consideration. When you talk about a defenseman, it's easy just to look at the stats and pick the winner based on offensive production. But if you're a defenseman, it's about all-around play. And the way Roman Josi does it, he's leading the team in plus-minus. I'm not taking away anything from John Carlson, but he's got a lot more offensive support around him. So he's going to get some of those freebie points with Alexander Ovechkin and the likes of those types of players. But the way that Roman Josi plays, there's really nobody else in the league that plays like him. The way that he generates offense by himself, leads the league in offensive end-to-end rushes more than Connor McDavid, as we saw when we played Edmonton. I mean, this is just phenomenal, the season he's having and the consistency that he's showing all year round. We went through a similar path with Pekka a few years ago, Andrei Vasilevsky. We know how that turned out. So I hope that people just start digging a little deeper here into the numbers and the analytics, which have become a big part of hockey these last few years.
That was Chris Mason on the pregame show last night on Fox Sports Tennessee discussing Roman Josi's candidacy for the Norris Trophy in relation to John Carlson, in relation to all the analytics that we have at our disposal in today's day and age. And I know Calvin Smith behind the glass is very aware. Yes, very aware of most analytics out there, if not all the analytics in sports. Probably all the analytics.
Hockey is where I'm the most unsure right now. I've definitely focused on basketball, football, baseball.
Okay. Well, Dom Lucchesin with The Athletic has come up with GSVA, and it's game score value added. And it's, in layman's terms, basically a compilation of a lot of numbers that prove a player's value to the team and the game itself. And they showed a graphic last night of Roman Josi being the top defenseman in the league in GSVA, and John Carlson being ninth. And this Norris Trophy battle has essentially come down to Josi and Carlson. And Roman Josi, I think, has gained the respect of a lot of people nationally as this season has gone along. And the fact that he is still close to a point-per-game pace, 65 points in 69 games, he has set personal career records in goals, assists, and now points. Roman Josi, yes, John Carlson, when you look at just box score numbers like a lot of voters did with Erik Karlsson years ago when he won the Norris over Shea Weber, I hope voters don't do the same with John Carlson and Roman Josi, because Roman Josi right now, the effect that he has on the game from defensive zone to offensive zone and what he does with the puck on his stick from D zone to O zone, and the fact that he can control the puck and control the pace of play and control the offensive game himself a lot of nights and put the team on his back a lot of nights. I mean, Roman Josi has to be considered a front runner. Maybe not the front runner, but he has to at least be neck and neck with John Carlson right now for the Norris.
Oh, he absolutely has to be, especially if you want to do this right and make it a best defenseman award, which is the way it should be. It tends to not be voted that way, like you're saying, the Erik Karlsson thing. But looking at this in terms of, okay.
What is it with Carlsons? Erik Karlsson, John Carlsson.
Oh, my gosh. Whatever Berg, whatever off.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever son.
Farch.
But let's look at...
That's such an ugly word.
It is.
It is an awful... You cannot put lipstick on that pick. Farch. Like, it is such an ugly word, but
it's
continue.
The new month. It's the new month. Roman Josi, looking at natural stat trick right now, 5-on-5. He's played over 1,300 minutes, 5-on-5. John Carlsson, 1,191. That's all over 100 less minutes, 5-on-5 there, too. Total points, 5-on-5. Roman Josi has 38. Carlsson only has 36. So 5-on-5, Roman Josi's producing. First assist, he has 17 compared to Carlson's 15 in terms of 5-on-5. So looking at that, it's a great thing. And then 5-on-5 in terms of like giveaways, Josi has 48. Carlsson has 58. So just a little natural stat trick right there. And then good friend Michael Wade, who is the Penalty Box Radio Analytics, one of our analytics guys, is looking at Bill Como's skater tool and looking at percentiles of all defensemen. Roman Josi is the 98th percentile in points, 98th percentile in shots, 98th percentile in expected goals. So goals that are expected to happen while he's on the ice there. 77th percentile in expected goal percentage, 75th percentile in time on ice against quality opponents. We know that's important too, because what Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis are getting matched up against is usually the best of the other team. And for him to be able to continue to produce and defend while facing the best of the opponent is a very big deal as well. So, and also, you know, looking at those percentiles there in terms of the time on ice against quality opponents, Nashville allows more shots with him on the ice, which is expected given the quality of opponents. So 90 percentile is pretty darn good. And looking at the rankings there, obviously he should be in the conversation, but obviously he should be top two. And now obviously right now he should be the front runner, just given in terms of his production, more than just points, but in what he does as a defenseman overall, the way he's able to carry the puck out of the zone, all those little things that a defenseman's supposed to do that make a defenseman in terms of starting the rush.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bring up offensive numbers, and Roman Josi in points, goals, and assists, second in the league when it comes to defensemen. Time on ice, he's third in the league, so he's top three in points, goals, assists, and time on ice. John Carlsson cannot say the same thing about all of those categories. And he's first in points and first in assists, but not in the top three in goals and time on ice. And the sheer fact that Roman Josi and his zone entries, the fact that he has the puck on his stick probably for more amount of time than any other Nashville Predator. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
There are so many analytics out there. I don't even know if that's like computed.
That's more of an eye test one right
sure.
there. His actual possession of puck on stick.
Every time he's on the ice, he is carrying the puck from D zone to O zone all the freaking time. All the time.
Because he has to
and
sometimes.
He's making a big impact while doing so. And I made this case, too, the last time, you know, we had an in-depth conversation about Roman Josi for the Norris. I believe it was with Willie Donick last month. Was you could also make the case for Roman Josi to get Hart Trophy votes. He won't win the Hart Trophy. He probably shouldn't win the Hart Trophy. But he is the number one reason by a landslide why the Preds are still in this playoff hunt.
Oh, yes.
He has put the team on his back multiple times. You think of the road trip before the holidays where he scored a goal in every single one of those games. And he's been dynamite all season long. I mean, he should absolutely be considered to at least get a vote on Hart Trophy ballots. Not saying he should win it, but he should get votes.
I mean, and just like how before Pecorine was there, or he finished, what, like 6th or 7th in voting before? So it's fair to say that there's people that will consider that, especially if the Preds make the playoffs, then you look at the value of Roman Josi there. If for some reason they miss, then all for naught. But if they do make the playoffs, which at the end of the regular season is when voting happens, and you look at this team and the trend they're going in into the playoffs, and it's Roman Josi continuing to produce, that shows even more to writers that have the voting power that, hey, you know, he could be considered for it. Obviously not going to win, but could be considered for it because he's an important factor in the team making. And that's what Hart Trophy is for. it's most valuable to the team, right? And the production they got that they got there with. So without Roman Josi, would they be able to do the same thing? The answer is no. And that's when you look at the question for that type of trophy. Could Edmonton be where they are without Leon Draisaitl? Heck no.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the value of that player to a team and what they can accomplish without that player, and it's not the same. Therefore, Roman Josi has helped carry this team.
Coming up next, we will discuss the coronavirus effect on the National Hockey League and an interesting tweet that Pierre LeBrun put out there just a little bit ago. But I want to update you on the Smashville VIP package. You have one more hour to bid on the Smashville VIP package when bidding ends at 7:45. What you need to do is text the word PREDS to 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and bid on this incredible VIP package that includes two tickets to Preds and Threads next Tuesday night, two tickets to VIP after party to that event, a team autographed jersey, two lower level tickets to Preds Flyers on March 21st, should be a big game, dinner for two with Pete Weber and Hal Gill before that game, and two Nashville Strong t-shirts. The proceeds benefit Tornado Relief and the Predators Foundation, and the current bid is still at $1,200. Still at $1,200. So if you want to get in on that bidding, you only have 60 more minutes to do so. Text PREDS at 615-737-1025 to get in on that bidding. More Preds Insiders coming up next. He's Justin Bradford. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Welcome back in, Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth alongside Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking you up until Smashville Live at 7 p.m., Smashville Live will be a little different than we had planned. It will be myself and Thomas Willis here in studio. We will have, we will explain in detail coming up at the top of the hour. But a big reason why we had to make some Smashville Live changes is because of the coronavirus going on in this world and the domino effect of said virus. And you know, Pierre LeBrun put out a tweet earlier that I think took the hockey world by storm as well. He put out there, he said, quote, "It should surprise no one, but a source also suggested to me it's a possibility for the NHL to delay or push back its season. Not saying it will happen, just reporting that it's a possibility. Lots of different conversations happening right now." There's a lot of different conversations happening in the sports world right now, and things have been changing every single hour with every single sport, and the National Hockey League has been one of them, including the Columbus Blue Jackets coming out just a couple hours ago saying that they are going to be closing the arena to fans for upcoming home games, including Saturday night's Preds Blue Jackets game up there in Columbus, which means our bus trip that as a station we had planned with a handful of Preds fans, we will no longer be doing that bus trip. That bus trip has been canceled, and the domino effect of this has just been incredible to watch, and not incredible in a good facet.
Right, right.
But the domino effect of everything that's going on in the world that is now seeping into this country, and the NCAA tournament closing its doors to all games in the NCAA tournament, one of the biggest sporting events annually for this country. There will be no fans in attendance. But the domino effect of that, where all the workers who are going to be in the arenas for those games, and you know, the new media policies within the NHL and the NBA and Major League Baseball, where you know, we can't even play like post-game audio of John Hines last night after the Montreal game because the audio isn't great, because you have to stand like 10 feet away. You know, I'm not complaining about any of this. It's just the domino effect has just been incredible to see unfold this entire week, and really the last two or three weeks, and just goes to show you how serious this thing is. And I know a lot of people out there think this is a big overreaction. I will say, it is a lot better to be safe than sorry on something like this, with how serious it is, especially in other countries right now.
So what we need to have happen is put your recorder on the hockey stick like what you had in the Stanley Cup run.
Yes, the hockey stick mic.
The hockey stick mic is going to be needing to come back. But so in addition to the NCAA basketball tournament, obviously doesn't generate near as much revenue, but the NCAA Frozen Four, so the ice hockey tournament is also going to be played without fans. That's at Little Caesars Arena, and that's coming up in early April. But they made so it's a full-down NCAA, not just basketball, but all NCAA events. Not taking place with fans in attendance. That includes hockey as well. So it's a huge economic impact, and I understand people are frustrated right now, and it's a lot of frustration. That's what I'm seeing on social media, and obviously not necessarily taking it out on those that are sharing the message. Sometimes they are, mm-hmm. but it's taking it out on the decision makers, which I understand frustration, but it's really tough because I know people are ticked off, they're peeved, especially they planned trips, they did all this stuff, but looking at so many of the different numbers and everything, for instance, just look at Italy and what's going on over there too. Obviously, another thing that draws the Preds into this is what happens with the Global Series. Yes, that's not into the fall. We have to get through summer, which usually things calm down when it comes to flu-like things, coronavirus included, but they're going right into the hotbed, mm-hmm. which is Switzerland and Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. So it's right there close to Italy, and it's obviously a huge impact that's not just affecting one country or anything more. The World Health Organization issued it as a pandemic because of the number of cases and people that are being affected by it and countries being affected by it. We look at the past, and obviously what we should be doing, and I was looking at the experts, the people that are highly trained in this, epidemiologists, folks that understand the spread of viruses and things of that sort, and looking at them, what we should be doing is listening to them and whatever they pass down. And
sure.
Yes, it's going to cause lots of frustration. I don't think anyone's trying to cause panic for the sake of causing panic. It's just it seems like panic because it is messages that are changing almost on the hour. Was it the NCAA just a few hours before they said no fans? They said things are going on as planned. We know it's a fluid situation. Things could change. But for right now, things are going to go on. And then hours later, after the WHO issues that it's a pandemic, it's that things change. Same thing with the Ohio governor with going on with sporting events and mass gatherings. That doesn't just affect hockey. It affects basketball with the Cavaliers and Cleveland. And then you have minor league hockey in Toledo and Cincinnati as well. So plenty of different things there as well. That it was a recommendation yesterday. And then 24 hours later becomes an order. So things are changing very quickly with this thing. And I think that's the frustration a lot of folks are seeing. But in terms of overreaction, it's the people going out and buying all the supplies up and then hoarding. Just take precautionary measures. Do what you're supposed to be doing for good hygiene anyways. Practice those types of things. And just listen to those that are that know way more than we do when it comes to this kind of thing. And know that social distancing, for the fact of that, is important. That if you distance yourself from other humans, you lessen the spread of anything. That sure. includes flu, that includes sickness and anything like that. You just let it run its course. And that's what they're trying to do and take precautions with that. And I know the president will be addressing the country later tonight as well. So it's a big deal for a reason. And hopefully people, will calm down from the panic mode and just and listen and be proactive about things.
Well, just to show you how quickly things change, yesterday the Blue Jackets came out and said they were going
right
forward as planned with their games Thursday and Saturday against Pittsburgh and Nashville, respectively, and then 24 hours later, they're coming out saying,
exactly,
we are going to follow our governor's order and not have any fans in attendance. So just crazy situation going on with coronavirus right now in this world that is now heavily seeping into everything going on in the sports world. Tomorrow night, the Preds visit the Toronto Maple Leafs as this road trip continues north of the border. Pregame at 5, puck drop at 6. Another big game. Every game is a big game down the stretch right now for the Preds as points are at a premium. As we mentioned earlier in the show, this team is going to going into tonight's action as the number one wild card within the Western Conference. And it could change when we wake up tomorrow morning because the Winnipeg Jets are playing tonight. Against the Edmonton Oilers, and the Jets are right there at 78 points along with the Preds and the Canucks. So the Preds need all the points they can get. What are you looking for tomorrow night as the Preds face the Leafs, who came in here a little over a month ago and whooped up the Preds at Bridgestone Arena?
I mean, I'm looking for them to build on what they've been doing well. and if it's Saros that is starting the game, for him to continue his strong play, and then also to look at the playmakers, the role players for this team that are expected to be scoring goals, to at least produce. And it's one of those things, you look at games and you cannot expect them to win every single game, but for the players that you expect to be doing the right things, to do the right things. Forsberg continues to try to do the right things, and it paid off for him last night. Continue doing more things. Johansson, if he's finding the way into the slot, shooting the puck, winning faceoffs, getting shots off, and utilizing, you know, defensemen against their own goalie. Those little things that we've seen them been doing well and playing more sound as a team, that's the little things, the confidence. It doesn't have to be in a win every time. Getting points is important. Get out of there with a point. 2 points is obviously even better, but just continue to work on building those things that John Hines has been trying to enact with them.
Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio, you'll be able to hear him coming up at 8 o'clock this evening. Justin, thanks for coming in a little early and pinch hitting here on Preds Insiders. Appreciate
absolutely
all the insight, and we look forward to 8 o'clock.
Thanks for having me.
For Justin Bradford, I'm Ryan Poore. Thank you for listening to Preds Insiders. Coming up next, it is Smashville Live right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.